You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, Red Army, it's your boy Case doing this for Those Casual Reds. It's another beautiful week, another exciting week to be a Manchester United supporter, because it's always glorious unless you watch the team play football and you listen to all the news. And if you listen to Samuel Lockhurst, then you'll be like, this is a depressing state of affairs. And once again, we're brought to you by Ballorin and Malukian LLP, one of the finest law firms in Southern California. They specialize in PI, you know, wrongful loss, wrongful death, all those type things. Like I said, as long as you don't murder anybody, because they don't want to deal with that, but they might have someone they can refer you to. They specialize in Russian, Armenian, Patois, and I could let things go on for you if you need me to interpret for you. Of course, they speak English. You can reach them at 747-444-4444. A fine staff. Look, I ask for Vahe, Ashat, Hike, Ani, new Esquire, David, and the full staff of paralegals. They're there to help you. Ballorin and Manukian LLP, check their Yelp and their reviews. They got all 5-star reviews with a 98% success rate. All right, bring in this crew of misfits. How are we doing this evening, gentlemen? How are we all feeling? What's going on in your worlds? We'll do a little roll call. I'm in the studio by myself. Cheese just said he pulled up. His helicopter just landed, so he's on his way in. Sean in Pittsburgh, P-Berg, what's going on, my brother? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. After my prediction last week of a 2-1, it wasn't too far off. We should have scored. We should have scored plenty if it wasn't for Gatt and it gone at you. But I did want to introduce the new Pittsburgh Red, you know, red wine that we officially have made. So other than that, doing good this week. Doing good.
What if they want to get the red? Do you have somewhere they can get it? What if some Reds want to add that to their edition? Is there like a website?
No. You and Big Mikey are going to be the first two. Mike, are you, Brandino, are you down in LA too?
I am, yeah.
All right, I'll try and bring you a bottle down too, buddy. But yeah, so it's not official yet, but we just got the first batch made just to see how it is. But we hopefully can roll it out at some point. So.
All right, well, I'm definitely going to let you know. I'm definitely going to let you know real quick how it goes.
Oh, you're good, man. I am thinking it's tasting good. So.
All right. Well, you know, I'm the connoisseur of a lot of liqueurs. Was that right? Was that safe to say? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's still
right. My man, Big Mike, out of ATL, representing those Atlanta Reds. People, like, follow him. He does great content. I appreciate the work he does because he's representing stateside Reds just like Sean did. Don't forget who Sean is, the man with the banner. But my man, Big Mike, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good because when it rains, it pours.
Never lie.
How you doing?
Yeah, that's one thing about being a Manchester United supporter. There's always something to talk about. Even like you said, it rained and it pours. It really rained and it really poured and it kind of flooded. And we'll get into all that. My man in L.A., Bandito Mike, L.A.'s top boy. How you doing, bro?
Good. Representing Angel City Jubers and no one else. Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. If you're new to the podcast, it's a Tuesday thing. Yeah, we just chat football, have a lot of fun, and you know, thanks everyone for tuning in.
And the last person I'd like to introduce, he just his intern just walked him in. Security said everything was fine.
Hot flight security.
So he could safe. There you go. My man, Cheese. Everything was good. The security check went through.
Security check went through. All clear.
All clear. Bags are all checked in. How you doing, my brother?
I mean, season's almost over. You know what I'm saying? We're good. We're getting in a good headspace right now. Shout out to Tenoch. Shout out to the boys. Shout out to the supporters. Good evening.
Good evening. Well, let's start off with some good news. The women's team won the FA Cup. They battered Tottenham with Jamaica's goalie. She had a stinker. But I was still, everybody's like, is that Jamaica? That's how Jamaica do it. 4-1. Ella Toon, United local gal, started it all off. I was happy to see they played at the pub. Did you guys get to watch the FA Cup?
We did, yeah. It was good. It was better than what followed, to be honest with you, but it was good.
It's the first major trophy for the women's team. The women's team has been in existence in, well, been brought back for only 5 years. So this is their first trophy. They lost the finals to Chelsea last year. So I was listening to some interviews with Ella Toon and Kate Zellum, who are both been in this team for the entire 5 years, and local players from Manchester, and they said they learned a lot from that loss. They know they didn't want to have that same feeling again, and it really showed. They came out there and just did a really professional job. They didn't let the pressure get to them like Tottenham did, and really took care of business. So congratulations to the women's team on lifting the FA Cup trophy.
Indeed. Well done, ladies.
Big Mac, how do you feel about it? What's your words? Did you get to see it?
I didn't get a chance to see it. I had my kid. I was giving my wife a break for Mother's Day. So I got my kid ready, and I took her to the pub to watch the Arsenal game, and it takes us a little bit of time to get down there. So as that was going on, I can only catch it in bits. But from what I saw, dominated performance. I love what the women's team is becoming. I want them to win the league, and I love how packed it was in there. It looked like it was a great turnout. So I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying the growth in the women's game. I think it's that, to be honest, they are the only, like, other, outside of, like, women's college basketball and women's MMA, is the only other thing I would watch is women's football, as far as, you know, like for like. And I feel like they're going for it, man. And I enjoy it. I love to see those players. So good job to them, man, for sure.
Yeah, it's almost like they're being successful in spite of our management group, because they have one part of the United umbrella that has been neglected. We've had a coach leave because the conditions of the facilities were so bad that she protested it in a way. And they're a team that's been successful in spite of the Glazers. And it's good to see that they did it. And we've lost a lot of players because we didn't sign them. So it's a lot of young. It's a very young squad. Is that fine? I'm scared to talk to y'all because I want to get clipped up and be made a meme at any time or anything like that. Because Mikey's just solely here to clip me up and make me look bad in front of my family and friends.
Watch yourself.
So, gentlemen, do we want to talk about what we watched?
God.
Let's talk about Arsenal. It was a 1-0 to the Gooners. I'm just going to say, I thought we looked better with the ball at moments. We noticed it was a back three, so he actually changed the tactics away in a way. I felt that there wasn't much space in the midfield, and I thought guys like Ahmad and Amrabat showed they should play a little bit more. Your thoughts, Cheese?
One of Amrabat's better games. I don't know if it's because he was playing longer, had more playing time. We didn't have any options, really, for that. Because Casemiro still started at center back, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep, still, for whatever reason. I think I mentioned this in group chat. I thought it was a good loss. Like, it didn't feel as terrible and as downtrodden as some of our other losses. Definitely not as bad as the 4-0 to Crystal Palace the Monday before. So I thought it was a good loss. I thought we held our shape really well for a lot of the game, which I hadn't seen all season because, you know, complaining about other teams just running through us. And I was like, yo, Arsenal was coming down, had to come down the sides for a lot of the game. I was like, oh, a tactic I can understand and relate to. And so a little discipline on our part. I saw, like, glimpses of discipline.
That's very true. Yeah. That's a good point. My man Mike in Atlanta, what did you see? Did you see anything different? Anything to give you hope? Anything that Erik ten Hag made a change? Because I'm going to the...
No.
Well, look, so yeah. What I'll say is that we stayed kind of compact in the midfield. We didn't really give them a lot of chance to play through the middle. They were a lot on the wings. I think Amrabat did a good job. He got sent to hell a couple times. But yeah, all in all, I do feel like this is the best loss we've had.
They can still see everybody except you, so they're still talking.
Oh, it's kind of... I understood it. So I really felt like Arsenal played scared. They looked like they didn't want to give up a big moment. And we looked around the 70th minute. I'm like, okay, well, we're still in this game. Like, we have possession. We had a good amount of possession. It was even. We had a good amount of shots. So Nana didn't have to take 20 shots. He had two good saves. I feel like Arsenal was scared of the moment, that because it should have been like 4 or 5. You know, with the quality they have and the quality we don't. So, you know, I have to give them a little bit of praise in that regard. But when the skies opened up in Manchester, as they do all the damn time, we kind of saw what is it, 17, 18 years of neglect and mismanagement can do. And I thought it was the perfect way for that game to end, is to also... Hey, don't forget, these guys up top, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And even though we got Sir Jim, this is what it looks like when you don't give a fuck. This is what it looks like when you take money.
Oh, giving some cover to the back four. Like you said, the goal, it was Casemiro just trotting back like he's at Withenshaw Park.
Yeah, that was just terrible.
And then even when he comes back, the ball's, you know, he can't blame Johnny Evans. He doesn't have the quickness and the pace to go close down on Havoc. So, and then Casemiro, he looked like a traffic cone, just letting the ball and the player just cut across him. And like you said, I think Arsenal didn't really need to do much.
Yeah.
Like, we got a goal. We don't need to play this open game. So, yeah. And then, you know, United, they looked lively. They were attacking. You know, Garnacho is a relentless player, but it was just – he looked like a boy against men, and he was just getting shoved off the ball and pushed out wide, and, you know, the quality just wasn't there, so – But like you said, it was a better performance. But that's about our level, and that's, you can see the difference between our level and Arsenal's level. They didn't really have to do much, and they didn't have to get into an up and down, you know, wide open game if they didn't want to. And on the roof, you know, thing, it's funny because not only was the folks from INEOS there, but members of the rebuild task force, the newly reelected mayor.
So it was kind of faith in a way. It was like there. All the proof they needed.
Yeah, it shows you, you know, what the neglect and what they're really up against.
I couldn't believe some of the water runners I saw coming down. I mean, Andy Mitten, I saw him. He did his little post-game video. And you could just see the press just looking at it like. What, and then meanwhile, you can hear Arsenal supporters saying, Trafford's going to fall down or something. It's falling down. Yeah. Trafford's falling. So it was just a horrible visual for all that. But it is what it is. The neglect is all there. And it just made Inyo say, oh, we really got to get a new stadium now. And it's tough to see Trafford like that because, you know, I posted on my page and say, all my non-European footy fans look at this and people are like, wow, that is horse shit right there. And I was like, yeah, this is the one of the wealthiest sporting organizations in the world, and this is what our stadium is coming up to.
Most valuable club.
Yeah, currently. In front of Real Madrid.
How?
It's because of the fan base, because of the heritage. That's how, you know? It's tough to see the stuff falling apart like that. And then I think Ineos came out and said, now we need a new training facility. And I thought that was the one thing with the club that was halfway decent.
Yeah, I would fix the roof, get a new training facility. It's a shame to say this, but Old Trafford needs to go, man. Like I've said it in the past. Like I was there in August for the home opener against Wolves, and when I've got pictures of that. Like my mum's here; she just came over from England, and she brought some pictures over from when I was younger at Old Trafford, and just. The difference is just astronomical. As long as you're not doing the name of the stadium, as long as you go back with like a new Old Trafford or whatever, I think the fans eventually will be happy. But Old Trafford needs to torn down.
As long as it's not Wembley North.
Yes, Wembley North. But like, as long as it's not like Ineos Stadium or something like that, I believe if you give it a correct name. Something to do with tradition of Man United, I think eventually the fans will be happy. Like, if you look at the Bernabeu right now, oh my God, that stadium is gorgeous.
You like
what
it?
They've just done to it. I love it. I love what they just did to the stadium. Love it. But at the end of the day, like, we can't keep going on like this. Again, you just mentioned we're the most valuable club in the world, and we're letting rain pour like that. Like, they're making fun of us. We're now the fifth biggest waterfall in England. Like, we can't keep doing this. Like, it's a joke. Clubs are making fun of us. History at the end of the day is history. But you know, Old Trafford can't be there forever. And I feel it needs to be torn down and rebuilt to the standards of what we really are, the biggest club in the world. And we're never going to be there unless we have the stadium to do it.
Facts. There's facts right there. It just seems like Ineos has their work out for them, you know.
Big time.
And I wonder now that they're in the building and after seeing the paperwork and they've seen the mess, they're just like, whoa. Is that the canoe? We got to do some changes around this piece. I mean, they're doing everything. They had to put out an email telling people, you need to come to work.
Yep.
COVID's done. You shouldn't be working from home still. We need you back here. And, you know, just that goes from the top down. If the owners are neglecting it and there's no one keeping the workers accountable, you walk around, there's trash, and I hear the facility, there's this urine infested in the restroom, there's brick falling on people.
Imposters on the bus, posing as players.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that story?
Yeah, that guy just walked on the bus.
Oh, man, this club.
This club is something different. Glenn is calling me right now. Shout out to Glenn. So, Ineos came out and said they're going to make some changes. We all know that. And one of the things that got axed was the end of the season awards. And something about the FA Cup tickets, they have to pay for them now or something like that. Did you guys hear anything about that? And players are supposed to be outraged. How you feel, Cheese?
I couldn't care less about the players. They can pay their way to the FA Cup. They can pay for their family and friends to go to the FA Cup. Like, I'm not worried about that. Standards. We're talking about upheld in standards or reestablishing standards. It's like, yeah, what do we have to celebrate? I'm like, I feel bad for the women because they deserve end of season awards. Like in the youth, them, like they didn't do anything too wrong. They won some trophies.
So let me ask you guys this. I'm not too sure. When they do this end of season awards, it's for everybody. U18s, the women's, and everybody gets recognized at these end of the season awards?
Or do they
do, or is this the first team?
Yeah.
I think it's the first team. Oh, am I wrong, Bandino?
It's club wide. So they are not doing the like party. They said they don't want to be. They don't want to have a distraction for their preparation for the cup final.
Mm.
They are still going to have the Player of the Year award and Young Player of the Year award and all of that. But they're not going to do the banquet style party.
I don't see the reason. They should have it. I don't think it's a problem. They can't be telling they're hurting for that much cash. Or is you think Sir Jim just like later for these guys?
I don't think it's cash. Hey. I think it's pride, man.
It's going to be on a weeknight, and they don't want to cut into the preparation for the FA Cup final. That was the official statement from them.
This team, the more they prepare for something, the worse they look. I'd rather them just party, have a good time, get lit, get a hangover, because the more this team has to think is a problem. I'd rather them just come in on one, actually. Then we have an excuse to see bad play. I'm just joking.
Casey, you touched a little bit on the news about Carrington.
What, would Ineos said that they want to redo it?
Yeah, so Braille Smith has come out and said it is not suited for purpose.
Mm-hmm. But I thought that was the one thing that was good. I'm sorry, Bendy, go ahead.
Yeah, they've been looking at golf courses around Livenshaw and Charleston for another facility. And I know the woman who was responsible for the building of Leicester's state-of-the-art training facility is also employed by Ineos to look at this. So it's 24 years old. It's Ronaldo can tell you that the hot tub is still the OG one and this and that. So it'll be interesting to see another massive expense, to redo a proper training facility. So they're looking at even the facilities they have for their cycling team are better. And it's not the moneymaker that United is. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, how far down the list this task is.
Yeah, that's true. Is it something that's going to get bumped ahead? First, I guess the roof is because they had people working on the roof the next day.
Yeah, I did see that. They had people up on the roof fixing it, trying to fix it. So
yeah, it's got to be shocking for any of those guys. They're coming from
high tech. I got to get in here and say that we're in eighth. We shouldn't be celebrating anything. Give the youth and the women their banquet. They deserve it. We don't deserve anything. But I don't agree with cutting the funding for players for the players' families and whatnot for them to come. That just sets a bad tone for incoming players and stuff. It just looks bad. I don't care. You pay. I'm never on the side of corporations. I'm never on the side of big business. Pay, get the guys their family to be there. They at least deserve that kind of support. They don't they're millionaires, so they have to pay. Yeah, you pay. You pay for this and let them come. You have a box, you have places that they can sit. Let them get in there.
Jump in there, Bandito.
Just to clarify, it's for the employees. So,
even better. They really should be able to be able to have their family there. You've been working all year and watching that, so that's even better.
Yeah, I thought it was the overpaid players. That's different. Yeah,
the way I heard it, it was the players. But that makes way more sense if it's the employees. Yeah, yeah, you definitely should pay. It's an event. It's the biggest cup competition in England. Why would you not? I think that's just ugly. There's no need for it. What, are you going to save a couple hundred thousand? Don't gas your plane this month then, Jim.
You know, I get the vibe that Ineos is not cool with a lot of employees there. They've been coming. They've been walking around the building right now. They're like, ain't nobody here. No one's watching the IT department. It's crazy. We're doing our own investigation on the training staff. It's got the 1-star rating in the kitchen. Everything's a mess. So they're probably like, you know what? We're going to fire all y'all anyway, so we're not going to throw y'all no party. But I get what you're saying. It's a bad look because players want to go, and when you recruit, they want to go somewhere where an environment is family, you know, friendly, seems like they care, but it's a revolution right now. Ineos is cleaning the house, and, you know, in some ways they got the right to because shit ain't up to par. And like you said, we are in eighth place. A comfortable eighth place right now, and that leads me into the Newcastle match.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
We got a game tomorrow.
Oh, wow, God. That didn't even hit me.
Oh my God,
it really just hit me.
Right, I was confident in beating Arsenal. I know we lost, but we were in that game. I think we relied way too much on Garnacho, the poor soul. I'm not confident tomorrow. It seems like every time we play a good game, the next game is 4-5-0. I don't see a good game tomorrow. I just don't.
Well, we're two teams on different sides of the game right now. They in the last eight, they've only lost one. In the last eight, we've only won one. They're playing good ball. Gordon's looking good. They got Isak playing good. Joe Linton,
just came back from injury.
He's a box-to-box midfielder looking good, you know.
Just imagine what we're going to be like next year with Dan Ashworth.
I'm more worried about what we're going to present, though. If he goes back to Casemiro at the center mid, I think that's going to be a problem.
I don't think Cass plays tomorrow.
After what I saw from Amrabat, I'd rather have him play next to Kobe.
I know Martinez is on the bench tomorrow. So.
Yeah, definitely don't start Martinez. How do you guys feel about Newcastle, Bandito? I mean, I know how you feel, but
about the Geordies? No, about us? Are the players going to be up for it? And probably not.
Who knows? Who knows?
This is a hard group to figure out.
I don't think they get up for it. I think they're just waiting for the season to end. And it's kind of like, Newcastle, they've got new investment and they got top 10 and top four. And they found out how difficult that Wednesday, Sunday schedule is. But they're, you know, supposedly like a club that's on the rise. I was at the reverse tie of this, it United was terrible. It was terrible. Newcastle's got some good players, and they work for each other. They work hard. There's a plan there. They press as a unit, and you can see each player maybe not is a top level player, but they all play their role, and they seem happy to do so for the team, and that's. We are on the opposite. It's a team of individuals who are just like watching the clock, like let's pack it in.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm for madness tomorrow. I mean, we're gonna have to be disciplined tomorrow. We're gonna have to be energetic. If we're not energetic and disciplined, Newcastle's gonna try and press us. They're gonna look for our mistakes. They've beaten us twice this year, if I'm not mistaken. Did we lose to them in the cup?
Yeah, we lost it in the league in the Carabao Cup, yep. I believe.
Blood and them eye. They still upset about the FA
Cup. Yeah. But you got to respect that in them. They made a little rivalry out of us. Yep. As Ronaldo said, this is the Ashworth Derby tomorrow. And they're going to be pissed off about us about that, too. Newcastle's...
I don't want to hear anyone say that Ashworth isn't working for Man United because he is. There's no way that guy isn't working in the background for Man United right now.
I mean, who's going to keep track? What are they going to do? Check his text? He's probably sitting right around the corner from someone's house talking about all this.
So he's real good with Sir Jim, so.
Do we want to win, Big Mike? Do we just want to just chill out? Is there still something to fight for? Because we're 3 points behind Newcastle Or is it? It's only three.
Stop looking.
3 points. Yeah. So and, as it stands right now,
and 2 places
we
behind
are
them.
3 points behind Chelsea, 3 points behind Newcastle, who are joint. Well, they're ahead of Chelsea, but it's 57 points. So there's nothing to play for. I would not like to wear a Chelsea shirt.
Oh,
all
my
next
Lord.
Year. So that would be good, but I have no faith in the rest of these games. I said that we wouldn't get another point for the rest, so I'm going to continue that. I would love for us to win. I love Man United. I love this club. I don't love these players at the moment. They're not good enough. We'll remain saying that, but we're also injury-ridden as hell, and Newcastle's on a decent streak of form right now, so... If we could play how we played against Arsenal and get a result, maybe nick a goal, good. I say 1-0, maybe 2, or 2-1. But I don't have any expectations for this Newcastle game. It really means nothing.
Big Mike, you know we're conceding, so.
Is Bruno back? No.
I don't know. I don't think he trains, really.
I don't think he's back for the game, so we're not getting a goal tomorrow.
Yeah, I would leave him out to the final right now, to be honest with you.
Same. Yeah, I mean...
Same.
It's and really not much.
I saw Varane in his comments today saying he's going to be there. Do you think he plays the final? Is he that injured? I don't know if Bandino knows this a little bit more, but like he said he's going to say goodbye tomorrow. Is that an indication he's done?
Yeah, I haven't heard. I haven't heard about anything about that.
I wonder if
I've seen that he's. So I've seen two things. I've seen that him doing like a little goodbye video.
Yeah, I saw that
but
today.
I also seen that it's to the end of the season. He's saying right. So the end of the season, he's already saying, "Hey, at the end of the season, I'm gone," which I'm okay with. He seems a lot more injury prone than I remember him to be at Real Madrid. Yep. I'm all right with that, and we can get his money off the books, hopefully. So that's fine. We won't have to linger on about that. We're just going to miss a center back. But I've seen that he doesn't. Also, seen that he's not expecting to play any more games. So It could be either one of those ones, of course. But I'm seeing more that he's not expecting to play anymore. He's already said that he's hurt. He said his body's injured. He said he heads the ball too much. So, and that makes sense, I guess, but he's probably just broken down and disillusioned like the rest of them. So, hey, thanks for the memories. Thanks for the job. We appreciate it. You know, and I hope he has a good career going forward. He's already had a great career, but I think good career going forward.
I think he's done. I think he retires after this year. I think those concussions are too much for him now.
Yeah, he didn't sound like a man who really wanted to get – you know, deal with the physical aspect of football anymore. Go ahead, Bandito.
I just want to say, you know, he and Licha were, you know, they had their moments where they were maybe one of the best pairings in the league last season. So when he was fit, you know, it's a good pairing. You've got a front foot defender and then you've got a cover defender, much like Vidic and Rio. So they were probably the best pairing that we've had since those two, Vidic and Rio. So
I agree with that.
United will be happy to get his $350,000 a week off the books. Look, we stand to get off our payroll three of the top 10 Premier League salaries in Varane, Casemiro, and Sancho.
50 wow. million, I believe it, Bandina. 50 yeah. million a year, yeah.
Gary Rambo posted, Casemiro, Varane, Martial, and Sancho leaving. That's £1 million a week in wages saved.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. That's what he put.
Facts.
Yeah, I heard in the news today it could be double digits and players going today. I don't know how true that is, but I hope it is. Like, get rid of them.
Well, if the Casemiro one is true about Saudi Arabia actually wanted to get him for 40, that's a blessing.
That's my God, 40 million for Cas right now is. I'll drive him to Saudi Arabia. That is a steal.
It is his drop off. Isn't it's just terrible. I've never seen anything. Someone posted.
I mean, it makes sense. He's Brazilian, and those Brazilian guys play a million games before they even go to a top club. Like, look at Neymar. Neymar had played 300 or 400 games or something like that before he even goes and plays for anyone else, right? Like, he was at Santos as a kid playing 200 games. They burn out pretty fast. We've watched it with all the top Brazilians because they don't. They can play a lot of games.
Yeah,
so they just do.
Real Madrid seems to know that. Sorry, Ben.
Casemiro played as many games last season as he had since he was in Brazil. So yeah, you know, for a 20-year-old, that's fine. But for a guy in his, you know, 32, 33 in the Premier League, no.
I really believe the Premier League really needs to start implementing a winter break. It's destroying the players.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like every league has a winter break other than the Premier League.
And then we pack in the most games.
We double up.
It double down on the pain.
You can see it in the Euros. Like, England is favorite to win the Euros right now. They're not going to win it. Every player is dead by the time the Euros, man. It's like, it's just, we need to start having a winter break, and it's essential at some point.
Ronaldo says we're not coming higher than 8 because of goal difference, and he says Varane is playing in Wembley. He's just saying goodbye to Old Trafford tomorrow because it's our last home game.
Yeah, we'll touch on this one real quick. What was our goal difference last year? +5, +6.
Was it +5?
It wasn't high at all last year. We had the worst goal difference in the top 8, I believe.
Right now,
it was pretty bad.
Sparkling -4. Tough times with Manchester United. It's just every day something new. But I got faith in Ineos. I got faith. They're gonna blow it all up.
Man, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. Enjoy yes, the indeed. Ride. Oh my Lord!
I don't know if it's gonna be a lifetime thing, but enjoy the ride, man.
Let's get some more good news in before we run out of time. The U18s won the Premier League national title. I watched it a little bit today. It was a 2-1 victory over Chelsea, the Plastics. I know Wheatley had the first score. I don't remember who scored the second one. Ben, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, it was E squared, Wheatley, and Williams. I watched the game. It was on MUTV, and they play an attractive style of football. It's really pleasing on the eyes. You wish it's almost like everything you wish the first team had. They don't just run around and chase the ball. They press on pressing triggers. You know, they try to cut the field in half. They press as a unit. Even when they lose the ball, they still have players, you know, behind the ball in a defensive position. Their attackers stay connected with the backs. With the ball, they're not in a hurry just to, you know, chuck the ball. Jack Fletcher he's a high volume. Keep the ball, retain the ball, recycle possession, and then they run in the channels in groups of 2 and 3.
I love how you explained it. Like Wheatley. Everything we don't do.
Yep.
they get wide. They cross the ball into dangerous areas, cutbacks into dangerous areas. It's what you wish the first team was doing.
Sounds like the type of ball I want to watch.
Yeah.
Hey, and I always ask the question: Who's implementing this system?
Is it Ten Hag? Like, from what I understand, when he took over, he wanted full control. Is it Ten Hag though? Because I heard he wanted that full control, kind of like Fergie had. But does he have that? So I'm not quite sure if he has.
It's kind of unclear. He did say he wanted to come and implement a playing style similar to the way Ajax was. So when you're from 10 years old to the first team, there's a is a connected and continuous style of play. It's kind of unclear. So Nick Cox is the youth director. So him and he and Nikki Butt actually kind of have this playing style that was developed. And I think to Ten Hag's credit, the someone mentioned this before, like the success has come in these 2 years. So I don't know if that's everyone's kind of playing a part, and it's not all on Ten Hag, obviously. There's a lot of there's about 100 staff in the youth system. So, you know, credit where credit is due to all the coaches, and you know, they're coaching these kids from 9 years old, 7 years old, some of them. So it's a lot of work to get these young players to this point.
That's why I'm kind of worrying it, like not worrying so much is, that's why I believe like it may be more of a Ten Hag kind of style to kind of take that, because we've heard him a number of times saying like, we don't have the players to play the way we want to, but and has he taught the young kids to be able to play that he wants to now? And it, like, and Dino, you've probably seen it a little bit more than like we have. Are they playing Ajax style, like Ten Hag style football?
Oh yeah, I was just kind of say that it kind of does look like an Ajax total football style. Now it is kind of like an English football, you know, hit you on the break, hit you in the mouth, big fast players like Casey was saying. Wheatley, Ethan Wheatley is about 6'3", big strong player, a good target man, right? So he's not just someone who just, you know, bursts of speed. He can hit him, you know, the keeper can hit the target man, he can turn, he can play off to the side. But it is, yeah, it's a little bit like, yeah, I can see Ten Hag's footprint on here. I can see this is what he wants for the first team.
And that's why I'm more, like, sorry if I'm jumping in over anyone. And that's why I'm more excited about next year. Like, I think when I keep saying Ten Hag in, like, keep him till Christmas. I think if we can get rid of 6-7 players, bring in 6-7 players who Dan Ashworth and Will, like, you know, anybody can like work with, and bring them in that Ten Hag agrees with, and get him to play his style. Get rid of those old players who are 2-3 managers before, and go, hey, this is how we work. Now, if it doesn't work, I'm fully with Mikey, mate, like Ten Hag out. We've got to give in that time to, like Arteta did. Like, if you look at Arteta, he brought in, he finally got rid of all those players that weren't fitting his style, brought players in that fitted his style. Now look at them. And you got to look at Klopp. Klopp finished 8th and 5th in his first 2 seasons. He finally brought players in that fitted his system, and look how they did. I think we need to give Ten Hag that little bit of time to bring those players in who fit his system, who can play the way he did. And if we had to spend 80 million on De Jong, and that's who he wants, spend the 80 million on De Jong right now.
I don't want to go through another De Jong summer.
I don't want to either, but I feel like we've got we finally have people in the background staff who can make a negotiation for once in our lives.
I saw somebody big, someone else in the Premier League was linked to De Jong right now.
Arsenal? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arsenal's trying to do a madness next season. They're trying to get players going.
They're coming up short again, so they have to.
Mikey, so what kind of jersey number are you looking to wear next year?
69.
Is that, you're not going to rock the John Terry?
Oh, that's the last person.
Do you have a say-so in what kit you'll wear?
That racist.
Is he going to...
What?
What, do you have a say so, or is this whatever he throws at you? How's it work? He's going to get you like 3 different ones?
I was going to put 69 on the back of his, and it's going to say wanker.
But, oh, man.
And he's the bartender, so he had to wear it for every shift, but I probably just won't go to the pub next season.
Wow. Wouldn't even give him the satisfaction. I feel it.
Nope. No, not a chance at all. But, yeah, I don't know. I just don't. I think we need more than 6 or 7. That's the thing, because we have secondary positions that need to get covered, right? And a lot these youth guys, they're good. I think a lot of them are good. I think we need to experiment more with them in the first team. Like a Cam Walla, you know, he needs to be, that needs to be his, all right, you're there, you're going to play when you can and just hang on for us. But I think we need more than six or seven. And in history with these Glazers, we've seen that they're not willing to splash the cash on in good places, right? So we're hoping Sir Jim could change that. But these marquee signings that we do for like $100 million for one player and all that other stuff, if we pay $100 million for a guy, again, that guy has to already be proven someplace. I think there's only a handful of guys that's worth $100 million in the world, right? I don't think Frankie DeYoung is one of them. Okay, so $80 million is fine. I'll take that. We need Elise. He needs to come on. We do that deal, and we need to just sell this Deadwood. But I think when we sell, we got to keep in mind we have to get the player for that starting position and then a bench player. We need another striker. That we're going to have to splash the cash on that. Guys are talking about my boy from Sporting. So we need to splash the cash and then also tell our $70 or $80 million sign-in 20-year-old that he might have to sit bench some games. You know what I'm saying? We put ourselves in a real precarious spot with these sign-ins and all this money and then letting them play 2 years on these kind of wages. They're going to expect to play, and they should, but they shouldn't because it's like you're bad. You're not playing the style that we want. So, yeah, I don't see us doing that kind of business, man, especially with everybody else that's hungry and more appetizing with Champions League football. They're more appetizing with actual competitions to be in. We're not even in Europe. We might not end up in Europe. So we're already starting off with one hand tied behind our back to ask guys to come over and hopefully play Champions League next year in a rebuild. Like, I don't see us doing that kind of business next year, just, you know, with the history. But it's a Sir Jim era, so let's see.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take some savviness in the offseason.
They did for Arsenal, didn't they?
Yeah.
Arsenal had competent ownership. As bad as the Cronkies were, you know, they gave Arteta the tools that he needed to. I want Declan Rice. I want this person. I want that person. I want to keep this guy. I want to get rid of our striker. Yeah. I want to actually build a team. So yeah, I want Ten Hag out the door. But at the same time, I'm okay with him staying. But I just don't see us doing the business. I don't see it.
The only reason I look at that is, like, I fully agree with you in some aspects there, Big Mike. But from watching United for so long and, like, looking the way we were in the 90s, the early 2000s with a competent business, it's you look at Dan Ashworth. I said this earlier. There's no way on this planet Dan Ashworth isn't working for Man United right now. Barada, you know, as little as what he's had, you know, at Man City, but there's no way that those guys are not currently working for Man United. Again, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. We're not the Man United of old. We need to understand that we're not. We're an eighth place team, and we need to rebuild. Get rid of the players, bring in like what Newcastle are doing. Newcastle have had just as many injuries as we have this year, and you can kind of see it. We're only 3 points off. You bring those players in. Build us back up again. We're not going to win the league in the next 2 to 3 years. I accept that. But again, you look at Arsenal. They stuck with Arteta. They brought in the players. You were talking about Declan Rice. Declan Rice didn't come into, what, fourth year of Arteta's term? You rebuild. You build up that back place. You look at Arsenal's defense now. It's incredible.
All right, I'm going to have to jump in there, Sean. I'm sorry, my brother. Yours on the roll. Should have asked you that before. another good show. We got Newcastle tomorrow. Quick predictions. Anybody? Anyone you want to say a score? I'm going to say a 1-1.
3-0 Newcastle.
Wow. Shit.
2-0 Newcastle.
3-1 Newcastle.
1-0 to United, but 3-2 to the Knicks.
Oh, wow. On that note, guys, Red Army, this has been another one, those Casual Red Show. hopefully we see something positive and entertaining tomorrow and look like one of the most exciting clubs currently in the world or in the Premier League. Thank you for joining us. Bandito, Mike, Sean, Big Mike, Cheese, and myself, Casey Gale. Everybody have a great evening and up the fucking Reds.
Scoop.
3-0. You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.